Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free. Thank you.
Spirit Dancer. Yes, yes, yes. What the Creator has created, nobody can destroy. Oh, I love that. I just love that. Matiki Scale. Common Ground Collective. Yeah, I'm glad to hear something that can make me dance. I'm a spirit dancer. Are you? The Seeky Scales and the Common Ground Collective. You can find them on Facebook. Just go to Musiki Scales, or type Musiki Scales, that is. MAUSIKISCALES. And the Common Ground Collective. That's Spirit Dancer. Are you dancing? Are you rocking? What the Creator has created, nobody can destroy. Not even you. Not anybody, people who like you or don't like you. The question is, do you trust the process? As a matter of fact, the Creator itself cannot be destroyed, because the Creator is energy, and energy cannot be destroyed. It is not created. It can only transform. And you are a transformer. So how are you transforming that energy today? If you really want to go to work, become a spirit dance. Dance with the spirit. Dance with the energy. Sometimes it's very light. Sometimes it's very heavy. Sometimes you're like, I don't even know. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. Good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference simply because you exist, because you're alive. You make a difference right where you are right now. You're making a difference in somebody's life. At work, at home, while you're driving, wherever you are, lying in bed in the hospital, you're making a difference. So you might want to change that story about, you know, I'm just sitting here taking up space. Yeah, we say that, but even if you're taking up space, you're still making a difference. Just chew on that, sit with that, sleep on that. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you, and you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, iTunes, or simply visit if you're listening on the phone line, or maybe you just have somebody share the MP3 file and you don't know how to get to us. I'm going to make it easy. So you can go to iTunes, subscribe to Life Conversations Radio by entering. You enter Life Conversations, dig the radio out. Or you can go to lifeconversationsradio.com and download the shows. And yes, don't forget to share the show with your friends, with everybody that you know. If you're listening to this show and you don't really want to share with people, and you're thinking, well, I don't want them to think I'm trying to change them, snap out of it. Tell a different story. And if you really can't change your story, just do it for me. Just tell them, listen, I'm not the one sharing this with you, but this guy that I listen to, he's pretty cool. You know, I listen to him, well, every day. I mean, almost every day, sometimes. But he said to share this with you. Oh, you spoke to him? Like, well, not directly. Just drop it. You know, post in your wall. Ooh, I'm so glad. You know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, all the other, Google Plus, oh, I'm so grateful. Things I'm grateful for, Life Conversations Radio, that's another way. That's a sneaky way. I'm so grateful for Life Conversations Radio. I get to listen every day. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for Life Coach Ade. And they're like, who is this guy you're talking about? Get it? Let me stop. Now, I'm grateful for that laughter, too. Oh, Lord, like Deanna Van Zandt would say, don't leave yourself, don't spend time with yourself, something along the lines, don't spend time with yourself without adult supervision, especially my mind. I need adult supervision sometimes, or not. I just let it express. I express myself because we're talking about stories, and that's what life is about. The month of September, our theme is balance and groundedness. And of course, yes, if you didn't know, I'm just getting that ethereal nudge, that universal nudge. Tell them who you are. They know who I am. I am Life Coach Ade. You knew that. That's what I said. Well, that's what I'm supposed to tell you. Anyway, so I welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you listening online, on the phone line, those of you listening to the archive. Thank you all for being here, for sharing your time, your space, your energy, your love, your light, yourself with us. Together we make a difference. And yes, I am Life Coach Ade. We are focusing on balance and groundedness this month. And so just want to encourage you, invite you to look at the topics and the guests and the conversations and the thoughts, the everything that you experience here, how you can use it to support yourself when you feel out of balance. When you feel tossed in the wind, we're just giving out, dishing out like tools you can put in your spiritual toolbox. You may not need it today, but maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year. So you can say, oh, let me grow my toolbox. That's what it's about. We're serving soul food. We're planting seeds of transformation. All you got to do is water it. How do you water it by listening. How do you water it? You water it by praying. How do you water it? You water it by just meditating. You water it by being grateful. You water it by just taking a breath and breathing in and allowing that seed to receive the oxygen that it needs to grow and transform. And it happens naturally. Naturally. Some quick announcements here. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. How's everyone doing today? Is anyone feeling like I'm feeling kind of raw today. I feel very vulnerable today, so be gentle with me. You guys feeling that? There's a lot of energy, but I know it's a transformation, and this feeling that I'm feeling, it's going to influence how I move forward. And some things that I'm sitting with. So, you know, if you're going through a change and feeling vulnerable or feeling tapped or whatever the case may be, come sit with me. Let's sit together. Let's hug one another. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right for you, too. I love you. I love you, too. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we can kind of stick together. We need each other. We all in this together. Today we're talking about story. Mondo Delotte Bennett is going to be joining us. We want to talk about your story. Yeah, group hug indeed. How are you navigating? What stories are you telling yourself? How are you navigating? Are you writing a new story? Are you the hero of your story, the villain, or the damsel in distress? It's time to clear the path of illusions and start to tell stories that work for your greater good. You should know, whatever you're feeling vulnerable, feeling attacked, feeling judged, feeling sad, feeling depressed, it's most of it's based on the stories we're telling ourselves. It's time to tell a new story, to gain your balance, to feel grounded. And it's time to write your own story. Don't let the story write you. Because when you become the author of your life, you get to write the story. You get to say what it is. You get to say how it is. You get to say delete to how that was. Upload to this new story. Publish, because that's the story I'm telling. Kind of technical computer language in there. For those of you who write a blog and who are on a computer, you know about installing and publishing your blog. But that's what it's about. What story are you telling yourself today? We're going to navigate. We're going to go through it and help us all develop, create, write a new story. And when you become the author of your own story, you live from a place of authenticity. Because everything that is going on in your life is supporting you to just remember who you are, to live from a place of authenticity. We'll talk more about that. Margot DeLoe Bennett is in the house. And, we just want to give you some announcements. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. That's one on your keypad. And we'll come to you. Feel free to come and share your story with us, share your doubts, share your worries, share your concerns, share your challenges, share your breakthroughs, your breakdowns, because we have set the intention for a loving energy. So just your act of calling in will dissolve all the heavy stuff, will dissolve what is not working for you. And you can also post your thoughts, your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach Ade like page, Ade's ADE, and we'll get to it. If you don't do Facebook, can't get on Facebook, don't care for Facebook, had enough of Facebook, or maybe there's an intervention going on, so part of your process is not getting on the Facebook. You can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. That's our website. Find out more about what we're doing. We're in development. We're growing. I'm growing. The radio network is growing. Sometimes the growth seems slow. Sometimes you don't see the growth. Sometimes you keep watering and keep putting the manure on it, keep fertilizing, keep tilling the soil, but it looks like nothing is happening. And then one day you sit out on your deck and you look, oh, my God, look at that flower. Look at that plant. Look at my rose bushes. That's life. Because when the growth has happened, sometimes we don't always know it. We don't see it. We think nothing is happening. And one day, you realize that you're responding rather than reacting. You realize that you're responding to people and life differently. And you get to smile and say, wow, I've grown. Yeah, that's what life is about. Let's see. What else do I need to tell you? 1 o'clock or around 1. I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know why I do that. I do it every day. Because when I say 1, I hear Celeste's voice. I'll see you tomorrow around 1. So today around 1. We have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, so stay tuned for that. And tomorrow, Thursday, we have 7 p.m. No, we don't. We have 7 p.m., and we're going to have 7 p.m. tonight, too. But we have the Play Experience with Ambassador Sarah, 7 p.m. Eastern, the Play Experience. Make sure you tune in for that. Sunday, we have My Authentic Lifestyle with Mola, talking about same-sex relationships, how to navigate it, and how to embrace who you are and live from a place of authenticity, a place of being true to yourself in spite of other people's belief system. Because you know what's funny? People tell other people what to do and not do, why they shouldn't do it. Well, they got issues that they're dealing with. They got their own damn issues. Don't deal with your stuff. But anyway, I digress. I'm telling the story of this moment. But, you know, humans, we have issues, and we're going to talk about it. My guest is in the house. Let's see, what else do I need to tell you? I don't know. Well, next week we have Veronica Conway joining us. Then we have Donella on Tuesday. We have Richard Moss joining us. Richard Moss is the author of Healing from the Inside Out. He was here a while, I don't know, 3 months ago, something like that. I know Celeste will tell me in a minute, because she's on it like that. She's typing away. Yeah, that's Celeste typing. Sound effect. I'm so glad that I feel playful right now. Yes, that's how you dance with whatever you're feeling and going through and growing through. And so, yes, we have. And also, Donella, she's a returning guest as well. You remember Donella? She's bringing some fire. I think it's time. It's time. Let's do this before we jump in and start our conversation. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. I forgot. I almost forgot. As we tell our story. Like Celeste would say, I got a gift for you. I got a gift for you. And when you practice this, you give yourself a gift. It becomes a gift that keeps giving. So the gift is coming from the universe, from God, from spirit, from life, from the creator, and is wrapped in a label called forgiveness through Daily Word from Unity School of Christianity, dailyword.com. And the gift is wrapped, as I said, forgiveness. And here's the Daily Word for today. I forgive and I am healed, heart, mind, and soul. Forgiveness is a powerful practice. It can change my life for good. When the pain of past injustice arises in my mind, I invite forgiveness into my heart. Even if I don't know how to forgive, I am willing. Through the Spirit of God within me, I have the power to leave the past behind and accept the full joy of the present. I allow divine love to heal me, heart, mind, and soul. The peace I receive assures me it is done. Past pain is dispelled as I welcome new joy into my life. Peace and love prevail as I create new memories. With an open heart, I am changed for the better. My mind is free of judgment and negativity. The love of God works in and through me. I know that as I forgive, I am also forgiven. That's the Daily Word for today. That's the divine word for today. That's a delightful word for today. Chew on that. Sit with that. And if you want to get your own Daily Word for today, you can subscribe by going to dailyword.com. And follow whatever prompts they, whatever they want you to do. You know, I just give back to them as a gift to us. I welcome all of you, Cheryl's in the house, Silent Listeners, Tamara Joy, Vicky Lady, CJ's in the house, Carly Jackson, Teresa's in the house. What are you waiting for? I know that's like my guest is in the house, Margot DeLore Bennett. And I want to tell you a little bit about him. About him? Okay. How about staying present? Last time I talked to this person was her, and nothing has changed, I'm sure. So in the meantime, if I said him or her, it doesn't matter because Carly Jackson, I think I'm being hijacked. I just need to let the integration happen. Okay, let me take a breath. There we go. Yes. I'm downloading all those non-physical beings that want to show up. Can't resist them. All right. This is what they want us to know through Carly Jackson. And after this, we're bringing Margot on to join us. And we're asking you, what's your story?
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now
that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Yes, indeed. So there's no point hiding your story from me. That's Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook, Carly, C-A-R-L-L, Carly Jackson, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. She's on Facebook, and she's listening right now, as a matter of fact. She's in the chat room. This guy's, that's the username, what are you waiting for? Step off the scale and jump into your life. And it's time to bring on Margot DeLock Bennett. She's a Washington, D.C.-based poet, songwriter, performer, and social worker. As an active member of the Saki Project, Saki Project Theater Company, and a board member of the Young Women's Drumming Empowerment Project. Margot links her art with community engagement and activism. In 2009, Margot premiered a one-woman show, Black and Kinky Among Brown Waves, that included the poem Girl Child, which won second place in the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanities 27th Annual Larry Neal Writers Award. Margot is also the author of a book called, this is what life is about, Living, Learning, and Loving. That's it. That's what life is about. And we're getting ready to talk more about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my guest, my friend, my sister, myself, Margot DeLock Bennett. Hello, Margot. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I am good. Everybody's excited to have you. Look at them getting all excited. Calm down, people.
I know. The people are so excited.
You sacred activist, you. You did just, you're here, you know, you're here to just transform the planet, aren't you?
I think I'm here to just transform my community and those that I can touch and reach and hopefully inspire others to do the same. And then I think that will really transform the planet.
You're a wise woman. Like, nah, I ain't doing the planet. Nah,
man,
community.
It's too big.
that ain't for me. You can have it.
Yep.
Let's not even tell that story. So I just read a little bit about you, and but I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Margot DeLock Bennett?
Margot is a listener to, of stories, and she doesn't only listen with her ears, but she also listens a lot with her eyes, by watching people's body language and their process. And when I tell certain stories, what does my nose do, or my eyebrows do, or my ears do? She is also someone who cares deeply for those around her. I always have a hug. I always have a shoulder for folks to cry on. I always have a bowl of something warm and steamy when that's what she needs. So she definitely is a carer. And she's a storyteller, too. She loves to tell stories, her own as well as those of the people around her that don't often get told. One of the things I love about meeting new people is that you never really know what their story is until they open their mouths. You might make impressions or assessments based on what's on the outside, but then once you really sit down and chat is when you learn sort of what is their spark, what inspires them, and what brought them to today.
Yeah. So true, so true. I love what you say. You say you don't just listen with your ears, you listen with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That is so simply profound, and that's the truth, you know, because we talk about body language and the things that we see and feel. And, you know, this thing called life for me, it's like it's so complicatedly simple. You know, I think because life is so simple, we make it so complex. Like, it can't be that simple. And we weave all of that in our stories and how we see, how we listen. And, you know, some of us stand on what we see because that's what we see until we see something different. And and I listen to you and read about your work. For me, you represent what Andrew Harvey called a sacred activist. Mm-hmm. You know, really just blending, honoring, doing the spiritual work as well as taking care of people and being there compassionately. And I honor you for the work you do.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And for the benefit of the listeners today we're talking about stories. You know, the title, the theme, topic is, we're asking, what's your story? We're having a conversation. So if you want to join in storytelling, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. I think that's the number. I don't care. You know it. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And today we just want to help you go within and see what stories you're telling yourself about who you are and who you're not, and how you can maybe change your story. So, you know, you have an interesting, well, I don't know if interesting is the word, but this, as I reflect on your work as a social worker and a poet, an artist, a songwriter, one of the things that came up for me was, let's start there. How does your work as a social worker, how does it influence your work, your poetry, and how does poetry or being a poet influence your work as a social worker?
Okay. One of the things that happens is we all need an outlet or a way to decompress from, if we are sort of working with people who are going through trauma or dealing with situations that are heavy and experiences that are heavy with our clients. And so for me, in a lot of ways, my poetry is my self-care practice. Sometimes it's a way for me to get a different perspective on what is going on, to tell a story about an instance or a theme that I see that keeps on coming up in the young people that I'm working with. So sometimes it's my poetry works for self-care, but then sometimes my poetry also works to help me look a little deeper into what might just be on the surface, or what might be a line that's just thrown around, to really look at what could this mean. I remember writing a piece about a young man who I was doing counseling with him and his family, and he was just like, "We must be broken because you are here." My poem about him and his family was about how we are all broken and how we all might feel broken at times, but it is in that brokenness that we can gather ourselves together again and sort of reinvent who we want to be. So, what was just a sort of like a throwaway line or a way for him to let me know how uncomfortable he was with the situation became a way for me to connect with him, but also to reflect on in what ways have I been broken, and in what ways have I thought that I was broken to then realize that I wasn't. So that's kind of how the poetry and the social work link. But then also I find that in my social work, I'm always telling stories. I'm always performing. I'm doing a workshop with teen parents. I am dancing at the front to help them understand how they were parented and how that will impact how they plan to parent their own children. So there is this dance, there is this performance, there is this movement that I'm constantly in because I am an artist, but also because my art is informing my work.
Ooh, there's so much in what you just shared, and just want to go through it slowly. But what stands out for me the most is that story about being broken. I know for me personally, there are times when I'm just in a state where I just feel different. I feel like I'm not used to this place. It's different, and I'm having that experience right now the last few days. It's just been a place of vulnerability. And I mean, I'm doing what I need to do, but inwardly, I feel there's a shift happening. It's like I'm doing a home improvement, but I didn't know that I asked the builders to come.
And they're
improving my home while I still live in it. And there's all kind of noise going on sometimes. Sometimes I see the work completed, and I'm like, oh, great, it's going to turn out right. But sometimes just being able to navigate the home improvement process that's happening while I still get on with the day-to-day thing. And I want to ask in that, how does storytelling, or how can we use that experience that we're going through in that moment and kind of tell our story without burdening other people, without putting out this sort of, oh, poor me, I'm just struggling, my life is upside down. Because, you know, when we ask what's your story, we as society sometimes don't want to tell our stories because we don't want people to think we're weak. We don't want people to think we haven't learned something. We don't want people to judge us. How do we use storytelling to heal ourselves? And you talk about self-care as a tool, a self-care tool, when there is a home improvement going on and we still have to do our day-to-day activities.
Right. I think sometimes we have to tell our stories even to ourselves, because I find that we, everyone is great at giving advice to somebody else. Like, we will tell you, oh, you need to fix this, and this is, you need to do that, and I wish you could see this about yourself or that about yourself. But I feel like sometimes we need to be the subject of that advice giving and of that storytelling. I have often told my friends and folks that I work with, you might need to write yourself a letter. You might need to be the friend that you are to other people, to yourself. And sometimes in the writing of the letters to ourselves, or in the telling of the stories to ourselves, it gives us a different perspective and allows us to see it a little differently. I have a good friend who was traveling and had a terrible experience while she was traveling, and wrote herself a letter from that space to her future self to say, okay, once you get past this moment, I want you to think about what were all the steps that brought you to this better place. Like, it was a letter to her future self to remind her how she was able to get out of the slump, how she was able to get out of this low point. because I think sometimes we don't remember to reflect back. We're just like, oh, it was really bad like a year ago or 2 years ago. But there were actually a lot of steps that were taken to get me to the better place, the higher plane, the feeling more whole and healed. So it's a matter of how do I write myself stories that can teach me about where I've been and where I'm going.
Yeah. You know, that's a wonderful process because in writing that story gives us an opportunity to actually look at it as an observer, gives us an opportunity to really look at it rather than avoid it, as you were saying, you know, kind of leave it in the past, no one to address it, it's too painful. But it would bring it to the light, if you will. And what are your thoughts? Let me put it that way. What are your thoughts about people saying, you know, my past was too painful. I can't even look at it because if I try to look at it, I would just lose my mind. How would you suggest people move with that to using storytelling as a tool for moving forward?
I would say first of all, sometimes it's helpful to almost tell your story, but maybe recast the characters. Like think about it as if it were a friend. Think about it as if it were a colleague, as if it were these famous people that we want to, that we're all involved in their stories because our own are too painful or too weird or too boring to us. Sometimes the recasting can help with dealing with the pain. And sometimes it's a matter of don't look at the story to just focus on the pain, but look at the story to focus on the triumph. Look at the story to focus on the care. Look at the story to focus on the steps that were taken that were really about holding on to yourself and keeping yourself whole and strong and able to make it to today. Because even if that story from so long ago was so terrible, you are here to tell it. You have made it to 2012, and you are looking backwards. And you remember when you thought that you couldn't look back and you were never going to make it through? You did.
Yeah.
So even the story you were telling yourself, that you were the victim, that you it was never going to get any better. It did. Now let's look at how.
Yes. It's interesting because I think of myself, you know, I remember, and I think I was sharing this with you when you and I talked a few nights ago. It's, you know, people say to me, you're a storyteller. And I'm like, nah, I'm not a storyteller. It didn't really sit well with me because I used to think of it as a storyteller in my mind back then was somebody that gets to, you know, call people and sit down and say, once upon a time. It's like, I don't do that. But over the years, as I listened to myself reflect on my work and how I am, I realized that I love stories. I love watching programs or interviews, documentaries about people. I love listen to what people say about themselves, regardless, in spite of what is written in the paper, I want to hear their story. If I'm listening to a teacher or performer or whoever, and they're telling the story, you got my attention. Now, if you're sharing principles with me and things that you have to do or need to do, you still have my attention, but the minute they switch into personal stories, it really gets my attention. And I think there's something about that. About storytelling. I mean, we're kind of changing, not storytelling as a profession, but storytelling as a way of life, as a way of, like you said, we are here to tell stories. Now, I'm in this, I guess it was a unique experience, where I do a show Monday to Thursday, and sometimes it's finding the balance. And this is the thing that I go through sometimes when I'm on the show. When is a story too much, too long, or too little, or too short? Because being aware that, you know, the story that I have to share, somebody may need to hear it. As a matter of fact, somebody needs to hear it because we are here together. And as a poet, when you're on stage, when you're working with your young people, when you're doing your social work, how do you gauge when to pull it back or when to just say, okay, that's the end of that story? How do you gauge when it's too much or too little?
I think when I was writing, I'll tell you the story of working on my one-woman show. So I did an internship and then traveled in India for about 6.5 months. And while I was there, I had so many poems and songs that I had written and letters I had written and stories and journal entries about my experiences in India. And it was so much that I knew that when I came back and people were like, well, how was India? I couldn't just be like, fine, okay, it was good, it was fun. I knew it needed to be something more. And so I started the process of putting together this one-woman show, which ended up being about 70 minutes long of just my stories, my adventures, and that is what became Black and Kinky Amongst Brown Waves. I worked with a really amazing director who was good at helping me figure out, like, when people come to hear theater or when they come to share stories, oftentimes they want to hear the vulnerable things as well. They want to know about, like, when things weren't so great, or when you were afraid or when you felt unsafe. But even so, as an artist, you can still define and identify what parts of the stories you want to tell and how deeply you want to go there, because even though it's for the audience, it's also for you. It is your art, and you have the power to decide, okay, this is how I want to frame it or spin it, or this is the arc of the story that I'm trying to tell today. It might not be the one that you expected, but it's the story that I'm telling today. And so I think that there is a dance in that as well, where we have to, you as an artist, you as a storyteller, you can define the beginning and the middle of the end of the story that you're sharing. And if someone else is dissatisfied with the story that you're telling, that's why you must encourage them to tell the story themselves. My story is not the story. It might not be the one that you want to hear. Why don't you tell the story that you want to hear? And I will listen. And I will support you. So,
what do you do in the moments where the person that doesn't want to hear the story is you yourself, where the voices in your head are like, oh, just shut it up, okay? Nobody wants to hear about how vulnerable and how afraid you are. Just do the work. What do you do with that?
Right. And when that happens, sometimes you listen and you get quiet. Or sometimes you're like, you know what? Let me find out a little bit more about that story. Is that story I'm telling myself to be quiet an authentic one? Is it mine? Or is it my fifth grade teacher who told me I had verbal diarrhea? Or is it really, is it that person in church who said that I was too loud as a young lady? Or is it that teacher who said that I would never blah, blah, blah? So it's a matter of sometimes you do have to get quiet and, okay, let me listen to this story, but then let me make sure that this is my story. Let me make sure this isn't the story that's being fed to me through the media. Let me make sure that this isn't a story that would allow someone else to be strong at my expense.
Right.
So that assessment needs to be in there, too.
I ask that because that's my personal experience. I mean, you know, just before the show, I was just feeling like, oh, my God. I mean, I just had this feeling strong, intense, vulnerable feelings, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can do this show. And then I find myself thinking, well, I remember talking to Margot saying I'm feeling quite vulnerable this week, and I thought, well, maybe putting that out there is actually create this moment. But I also find myself times when I'm sharing on the show, because there's a part of me that sees me as the person that people come to as the inspirer, if you will. Then there's a part of me that says, well, you're not allowed to be vulnerable, because if you're vulnerable, you know, how are you going to inspire people? But there's a deeper sense of me that knows the real truth. So navigating, sharing, there's sometimes sometimes it's natural, but I also know that there's a point where I come to just surrender. It's just,
right.
You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And because even my work is what you and I are talking about, is really helping people to be with the voices in their head, to be with the feeling, mm-hmm. to get still. So what makes me
and
so holy that I don't think I can be?
Yeah.
Say that again.
All the feelings are allowed, and all the feelings are normal. And I think when we can say, you know what, here is my vulnerability, or here is something that I'm still working on, we are reflecting out that you are allowed to be a whole, imperfect person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only kind of person there is. Nobody is on all the time. There are sometimes when I'm like, this poem is terrible. I'm not going to share this, but this poem is for me. It needed to come out, but it's bad. And so that's the one that doesn't go up on the blog. That's the poem that stays in the journal. Or
yes,
I will get to the place where I'm like, you know what? The last 5 poems that I've written have all been about me. I need to write about what's going on in the world, or I need to write about something else. So I'll challenge myself in those ways as well. But even there's some people that say that every painter, when they're painting faces, they're pretty much just painting their own face because that's the face that they know the best. But what happens is you as an artist have to then recognize that and challenge that and say, okay, well then let me consciously and presently paint not my face. And then that's where the shift happens. And you become a rounder, more whole person in the uncomfortable and
paint,
in the challenging.
Let me not paint my face. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Let me not paint my face.
Let
like
me purposely paint.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me translates, I mean, I don't know if you see it that way. It translates from, I know when I'm going through my experience, when I feel like out of sorts, when I feel like I'm out of balance, sometimes I get emotional and I'm thinking, why is this? Okay, God, what's going on? I might pray, I might meditate. I struggle with that. But then I bring myself saying, listen, this is not about you. This is bigger than you. This is part of your transformation. It's literally I have to talk myself or really just really become my own coach or my own counselor and say, really, this is part of the process, isn't it? What would you tell somebody else who's going through this? And so for me, when you said, let me not consciously paint my face, it's like, let me take myself out of the emotions and start feeling sorry for myself and just recognize there's a shift going on. I'm maybe don't understand it right now. That helps me to receive the gift, if you will, or the healing that is needed. And do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is that sort of conscious decision to allow oneself to be part of the healing rather than being overtaken by the healing or the feelings that are happening. You know, you talk about the woman show.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Just continuing on what you're saying, it's also a matter of allowing yourself to be in whatever it is right now, but not getting stuck there.
Right.
Like, yes, if you need to be sad right now, be sad. Like, I remember I was at a funeral and someone's like, it's going to be okay. And I was like, it doesn't have to be okay today. And it's not. Today it sucks. But maybe tomorrow it might get a little better. The day after that it might get a little better. But I don't want to lie to myself and tell myself a story that right now isn't hard. Because I think that when we do that, we are in that hard place for longer because we haven't given it the space that it needs to breathe.
Yes. So true. Breathe it all in. I'm enjoying this conversation. We are talking to Margot Delotte Bennett. She's a poetic social light worker.
I like that title.
The poetic social light worker. She helps you be with yourself just through your own story, through your own thoughts, through what you're going through and growing through. What's the best way for people to reach you? Is it on Facebook, Margot?
Yep, either probably through my blog. I have a blog at Kinky Waves, KINKY waves.wordpress.com. Okay. And through my blog, you'll see my poetry, but you can also, on there is my email address, and I think that's the best way to contact me.
Right, and there's videos of you on YouTube, thank God for the kind of world we're living nowadays.
Yeah, transmedia.
And, yeah, exactly. Authentic expression of who we are. If you don't want it, if you don't want the world to know, don't put it on the internet. Nothing on the internet. Don't even have yourself recorded, or don't have nobody take your picture. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back with Celestial Moment and continue with Margot, we're talking about stories. We're asking, what's your story? And when we come back, Margot, I want us to talk about how people can rewrite their story, as well as the family story, the ancestral stories, the things that we've forgotten deliberately, unconsciously, and how we can use that to rewrite the future. So stand by. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. And listeners, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. I see you guys chatting in the chat room. During the break, I'll see if I can catch some of it. But I'm not going to overwhelm myself today. I'm just being with Margot and sharing. So if there's anything that's really bubbling up for you that you want the world to know, that a gift that you received that you want to share with us, you know, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And while you're thinking about that, vibing about that, what stories are you hiding from us? What stories are you hiding from yourself? What stories are you telling yourself that's keeping you stuck in the past, even though you pretend you're in the future? And even if you're in the future, you're not, because you're only right here. 347-426-3346. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back. Live Conversations Radio. We're pretty bold over here. We're so bold that we are daring you to live your best life. Say yes to life. The time is now.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. IHEMKI Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, IHEMKI mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit IHEMKI.net. That's IHEMKI.net. IHEMKI Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Indeed, that's the intention, that every show, every thought, every word, every guest, everything we do here, it's geared towards helping you, supporting you, assisting you to change your life for the better, for the good, for your expansion, for your spiritual growth, because you're here to grow. You are a seed in the mind of God, and everything around you is supporting you to be your best self. All you got to do is say yes. Like Floetry said, all you got to do is stop it. No, I'm going to tell my story. Yes, I think stop it, as Margot told us. Which voice is that? That was the voice that said, you're not a good singer. All you got to do, say yes. Okay, I got it out of my system. If that rubbed you the wrong way, take it to Margot. She's the reason I sang, really. Yes, Celeste, how are you doing? Time for Celeste in a moment with Celeste Morgan. Oh, Lord.
Wow.
I got issues, and I'm telling my story. All I got to do is sing my song. Ain't that right,
that's
Margot?
Right.
Yes.
That's right. I'm co-signing all the way, and I'm also make room in the story circle. Hello, Margot.
Hello,
sister of my heart. The shoulder I have cried on too many times to count. I'm so glad you're in the house. This is not going to be your last time getting a day to sing. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I'm so proud of him. So I am going to jump right into it because I love story time. I'm energetically bringing the juice and cookies. So here's my offering. Okay, that's my favorite time in school. Are you kidding me? There's a story going on. I'm around. So I have my own to offer to the both of you and the family. Hello, everybody. They are all loving what Margot was sharing in the chat room today. I want to say that you also have a former social worker in the house, Tiro, and she talked about how hard it was to get people to change. But I trust that you and Margot will also be touching that as you continue in your conversation. But we are loving what you're sharing, so I want to get to it.
And let me jump in here because I know how my mind works. Let me jump in real quick.
Ahead.
How hard is it to get people to change? So those of us who are working hard to get people to change, I want to give you something that's going to help you help people change. Think about how hard it is for you to change when you say you want to change your mind about something. So I don't want to forget that. So go ahead. Let me step out your lane. I'm out of your lane. Go back. Do your thing, please.
I sure will. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Wednesday, September 12th, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2033. Add 2033, and the energy of the day equals 8. 8 is the number of infinity. 8 also represents balance. The 8th letter of the alphabet is H, and we have learned that H is a holy letter. So words like healer, heaven, and home connect us to the magical power found in 8. 8 also shows up as the loving otter in the medicine cards, which reminds us of the beauty and power of balanced femininity when we tap into woman medicine. Now, today, we're going to put the spotlight on how 8 shows up in the Mother Peace tarot cards. Remember, I often say that 8 can be strength or justice, depending on your tarot deck. In Mother Peace tarot, justice comes before strength. At this stage, we have expanded into our roles and our purpose when we embrace the light and dark of our love story of self. For without embracing all of who we are, we will not have the strength to respond to anyone else. And remember, we all respond at our level of consciousness. How you see yourself is most likely the story you will tell about yourself. And if it's not in alignment with your ultimate good, it's time to serve yourself some justice. First, respond to yourself with gentleness and compassion, like the scene on the Justice card from Mother Peace, and shift that story. In my card, we have 3 goddesses surrounding an ash tree. One diverts a waterfall so the tree might drink. Another holds a crystal to listen for what the roots need. The other reaches out a hand to touch a deer who is representing all of humanity. In this dance, justice moves from the courts and legal system. We find in this compassionate act of the goddesses that justice has a different ring. They ask, what is needed? What is being called for in this very moment? Innocent and guilty has no room here, for we are all in our soul mission. But reaping what you sow does belong to justice. It is a universal law. And you sow seeds every time you tell your story. Your story is your currency. Tell your truth and be prepared to respond to life in all its expressions. What you send out, you will clearly get back. So be sure to circulate your story wisely, especially when you are talking about yourself. Reap the love you are when you respond from a place of loving your own story with all its twists and turns. All is well. And that's the story of 8, told through the Justice card of Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste, for that medicine of transformation, recognizing that we're part of the infinite mind. Thank you. I appreciate you, my sister friend.
My pleasure.
Life is good. It's getting better. And, Margo, before I even talk to you about the thoughts that I have, there's some comments in the chat room. One of the things that I saw, I don't want to hear your thoughts on this, because I have my thoughts. I have thoughts on everything. Teresa in the chat room said, making sure your story isn't allowing someone to use your story at your own expense.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that when we are telling our stories? And then, you know, what are your thoughts on that statement, actually? Because I don't want to... I just want to hear your thoughts right now. So the comment is, we've got to make sure that our, let me read it the way she's saying, making sure, basically, let's make sure that your story isn't allowing someone to use your story at your own expense. So I guess using your story against you. Is that something that we can prevent? Is that something that we can avoid? What's your thought on that?
I think we don't have any power over what someone else will do with what they have around us. But I think that that's a reason why when we were talking earlier about the need for making sure that your story is authentic and making sure that your story is yours, because if it's truth and it's authentic, if someone's using it against you, it's not possible because it's already you. So there's nothing, it has no power. You are sharing it because of your need to share it. And if someone is trying to then throw it back at you, that doesn't negate your need to share it or their need to hear it.
I love that. If it's your story and your truth, it cannot be used against you. You know, because once you tell the story, once you tell the truth, and, you know, when I say tell the truth, listeners, I don't mean, you know, you're lying, and sometimes we do, but the truth of what is, this is what is happening. I'm afraid, I'm scared, I'm excited. Well, usually we don't have no problem talking about that, what we call the positive aspects of life, but the things that we consider to be negative, that vulnerable side of life is what we don't want to share. But whatever it is, if it's true, how can they use it against you? I mean, And when we start to defend our own story, our own truth, that tells us that we're still uncomfortable about our own story, right? Because that's
right.
That's it.
Right.
There was Go ahead.
No, you finish your statement.
No, I'm just going to say, if we're comfortable with our story, if people bring it back up, we can just say, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. There's
exactly.
No debate there. You're telling the truth. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, share your story. Share your story. Go ahead, what you were going to say.
There was a story that was actually going around Facebook about a young woman who folks came online and was like, you're fat and you're this and that. And she's like, yes, I am. And I'm also beautiful, and I'm pretty smart, and I'm this, and I'm that. And so it was this, we sometimes think that us labeling someone or defining their experience is going to cut them or cut them down or hurt them. But sometimes, like, if someone is authentic and is true to themselves and are assessing themselves, those other people kind of pointing the finger or putting the microscope or the magnifying glass over who we are or what they think we are, it's just like, yeah, mm-hmm, yep, that's me. And what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know,
thank
right?
You.
And what?
Thank you for, you know, identifying the obvious. And
yes.
Now what story are you... If my story is always on your lips, where's your story being told? Your story's not being told.
What are you hiding from?
Exactly. What are you hiding from? How is your story?
Yes.
How is your story being quieted because you are so focused on the stories of others?
That brings up a thought for me, because I always wonder this when I see things like the gossip column or people who make a living. The career is about talking about what celebrities are up to, what they're doing, where they're visiting, and talking about the dirt. And I always wonder, it's like, what is their life like? And what is it like to spend 9 to 5 or how many hours most of your day researching what other people are doing and say, well, we spotted so-and-so hanging out with someone in a restaurant, they were called up, kissing them. It's like, I don't really understand what that's like. I just can't. I feel like I've got so much going on in my world that to try and study other people's life is just too much. I don't know. I really don't understand it, but I'm sure people are making a living. But I can't imagine what that's like to spend your life studying other people and putting their business out on the street.
But I think that's what Facebook is all about. I spend way too much time looking to see at what did that person look like at that party? What did this person have for breakfast? What did so-and-so think is inspirational and share, or so-and-so think was disgusting and share? So for me, I feel like that's part of our thirst for the stories of others. We are so hungry to be connected and so hungry to be be in the know about what is going on around us that sometimes it gets out of balance. We are a little bit too focused on that and not enough on being the story generator and the news generator of our own lives. So there has to be the balance. We do need to be connected, and we need to know what's going on in our communities and with those that we love, and even those that we don't know that might inspire us to walk a different walk or talk a different talk. But there has to be the balance of, okay, well, now that you've taken this in, how are you then gonna output? How are you then gonna share? How are you then gonna teach?
Because for some people, reading other people's story, investigating other people, trying to get in other people's business, sometimes is a way for them to justify where they are. So if they see somebody who's putting their business out on Facebook or on the internet, as a way to say, well, I guess I'm not so bad after all. Oh, somebody else is doing it. But it's like Yala has a statement, something I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of feelings buried alive never dies. So no matter how much we try and run from our feelings, our thoughts, our stories, and not tell it, there's something about expressing that story, giving it voice and releasing. Mm-hmm. There's something about it. If we don't confront it, it just is alive. And we all need to be able to tap into that place. I want to talk about the retelling of stories and family stories and even what happens if we've got time, the ancestral story. But before we do that, I want to take a call. We got Rebecca. Rebecca wants to talk about being careful about telling your story. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, you want to talk about being careful about telling your stories. What do you mean? Explain.
Good morning. I just really appreciate you. And it just struck a nerve because I was like, oh, that is really where people, I tell you, I put it out there because Reverend Michael Beckwith, when I was there, he said, you know, be out, use Facebook as a tool to share what you're going through because you've chosen the spiritual path, and watch out, it's going to be a roller coaster. And Lord knows you've seen my roller coasters. You've heard my roller coaster. It's been quite the trip. But it's been amazing, I just thought it was interesting because it's funny when your own family, you know, decides to kind of zone in on the areas where they know are weak points, you know, where you were probably feeling a little low, and then they say, see, you probably shouldn't have done that, you know, and point fingers. And so I noticed I've been a little bit hesitant on Facebook because I also realized that I don't want to put something out there where sometimes I, like, was sharing, like, you know, when I was in Germany and when I was in Paris, and I was like, woo, I'm doing this, and, you know, God is good and bountiful and, you know, blessings abound. And then people say, well, why are you doing that? And, geez, you're always out there. And I thought, wow, you know, I just don't want to have the negativity attached, you know, because of jealousies and stuff. So I noticed I've kind of held back a little bit. But yet I was so enjoying putting it out there because I've had so many challenges to surmount. And so I kind of caught myself when you said that and what about the posting. And when I thought, gosh, you know, yes, they don't have any power. And yet I know that Reverend Michael Beckwith will sometimes say, well, we're vibrating at a higher level, so that can't touch you. But yet I'm not always vibrating at that higher level. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, and then there's that double-edged sword of like Edwin Gaines who says, you know, when you have an idea of what you want to do, only tell people that are going to put power to that, are going to hold you in that intention in your highest and best. Don't tell everybody because then people, the jealousy. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's kind of like saying two things. I'm freaking confused.
Right. And I think that's the thing, that it is very confusing, and we have to try and do and see what fits and then reassess and change. I think sadly, no matter how big or small of a story that you share, it will still, folks can change it, manipulate it, throw it back at you, whatever. You don't really have control over that. But it shouldn't, because of the fear of what might happen when you tell your truth, you have to try and not make that stop you from telling your truth. Because we don't have any control over the might. Like, all we have control over is, well, it's still your truth, whether people like it or don't like it, thumbs up it or don't thumbs up it, share it or don't share it. It's still your truth. It's still your path. It's still your story. And I think as you become more and more comfortable with sharing your story and being okay that, you know what, there are going to be some that are not going to like it. And that's okay. But you're not sharing it just for them. Or just for
That's
them
true.
To hear it. You're sharing it for you. And
I have
like
to
it.
Say a majority of people have come back with private messages to me saying, you know, thank you for sharing. It's always, you know, it's really difficult. We understand it, or, you know, I understand it's difficult, but, you know, it's something that perks me up, and I realize mm-hmm. that it's going to be okay. And I'm like, yeah, it is going to be okay. And sometimes, you know, I don't want people to think, oh, yeah, you're super positive all the time, because that's not the reality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not. And I, of course, I try to put out there positive because I want that to generate more. But but I still like to put out truth sometimes, you know, as far as, like, the harsh points are in kind of a reflection thing. You know, at this point, I thought I couldn't make it, but yet I did make it. And through that, you know, all those challenges, I still survived. And, you know, I really try to remind people to stay, you know, meditate, stay conscious, pay attention. There's signs around you that point you in the right way and give you guidance, and it'll be okay, you know, because I know that I'm living on that edge every day. And you know, Ade knows this quite well. I mean, I live on that edge every day, and I push myself, and, you know, and I'm doing, you know, I manifested, you know, Latin dance classes and for free. And now I'm going to be, you know, I'm interning. And so, you know, it's a long day on Wednesdays for me because I go to 11:30 at night, but it is awesome. And, you know, I go hiking now. And, you know, when I was hiking, I was like hilarious because I got to the base of the mountain and I was so winded. And I thought, how the heck am I going to get up that mountain now? And I laughed and I said, look at that mountain as a little mini microcosm of your life that you've lived the past year, because all you do is stay in the present and just take one step at a time. And if you focus on that one step, you're going to make it to the top. And don't focus on the end result, focus on the now. And I did. I got to the top and I was like, oh, this is beautiful.
Yay.
So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate your words of wisdom, because it keeps me going, keeps me focused, it keeps me in the present. And, you know, Ade, you just rock. I love you, and I really appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you, my sister. I appreciate you, too. I appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you, Rebecca. The number is 347-426-3346. You know, Margot, what Rebecca brings up for me is, well, really, what I got in touch with is, I think it's important for us to ask, not from an intellectual perspective. You know, coming from, you said earlier, I think you said something about listening to, you know, when we have a story, when something is bubbling up for us, when we can feel something rising, if we're going to share it, to just kind of ask, just kind of feel into the story. What is my intention here? What is my intention? Because sometimes some of us share a story to get sympathy, to see what people are going to say, to, you know, there's some attachment to the stories that we're sharing. But if we share a story from a place of authenticity, this is what I'm feeling, and I'm just moved to share with somebody, maybe it will help them, there's less of an attachment to what comes back, you know, what people say. And as Rebecca said, I know sometimes, you know, when people use we live in an interesting world, because some people will have great things to say, but you get it privately. But the ones who have negative things to say, they say globally.
Out loud.
That's interesting. It's an interesting thing. But anyway, what are your thoughts about telling a story and really asking oneself, what is my intention here?
I think that it's very important, and it's powerful, because it will also help you shape the tone in which that story is shared as well. Because if you are sharing a story because you need sympathy, or you need feedback or guidance, then how you share that story is going to be in such a way that elicits those feelings, even if that story is not even about those things. But if that's what you need or you want at that time, that's how it's going to sound. Or that's how it's going to be shared. And so those questions are very powerful, because they help us not only define what the words of the story are, but how the story is going to be shared as well. And that can be both positive and negative. There are, I have some friends who it almost feels like sometimes that they are happiest in misery. Like they are happiest when they are just focused on the pieces of their narrative where things are going wrong. And when you say, okay, stop for a second, you have just told me six things about how terrible everything is. I need six things that are positive. Because I know that there are six. I know that this story that you're telling me right now, I'm not really feeling it because it's not authentic and it's not the truth. So let's try this again. Let's equally tell the stories about how wonderful today was, what you accomplished in this moment, how you were able to get by. What happens is the same way that those that are loudest are those that are saying negativity, and those that are saying goodness sometimes are very, very quiet. It is easier for us to remember those things that were hard or painful or hurtful. That you can remember that real quick. But when you then ask someone to really think about what blessings happened, what goodness did you generate, how did you positively impact your own or somebody else's life? Crickets. Silence. But you still have to create that space. You still have to ask that question and say, no, I am going to wait to hear that story, because this other one, I've heard it. Okay, I've got it. Now tell me this other. Now tell me this positive story. Tell me your story of power. Tell me your story of might.
Yes. If you're just joining us, my guest is Margot Deluc Bennett. She's a poetic social light worker. That's my title for her. And if your brain can't wrap itself around it, she's a social worker and a poet. But when you bring together that all of it, she's a poetic social light worker. I like it. That feels so good.
I do.
Good.
I like it too.
It
sounds like
you,
the beginning of a poem.
Oh, I want to hear it when you give birth to it. I want to hear it. I want you to share maybe one of your poetry before we release you. But there's a question in the chat room here, and I want to talk. There's so much going on. See, there's always more for me. But anyway, let's ask this question first. Teresa wants to know. She said, "Does she feel that we should see our story as a gift, and to only share it with certain people that will treat it as such, or does she feel there should be no restriction?" That's a question for you.
I cannot define that for anyone but me.
Mm.
And you cannot define that for anyone but you. There are some of us, for me, I am a poet for those who understand poetry and those who don't understand poetry, those that like poetry and those that don't like poetry, which is why I share my poetry in sort of the social forum. I have a blog that, you know, random people can see it and like it, or random people can see it and not like it. So, but that's the narrative for Margot. But I can't define that for other folks. I've always been, I'm the kind of person who people will tell me, oh, I'm not a poet or whatever, I'm not a singer. And then I will do a workshop where I'm like, okay, well, we're going to sing the song. Okay, we're all going to write about this experience. And then afterwards, I'm like, okay, remember when we started, you said you weren't a poet? You just wrote a poem. Remember when we started, you said you weren't a singer? You just sang a song and you're a singer. So I'm always about turning the labels on their heads, reminding people of all the ways that they are creative, because that's how I walk in this world and that's how I do my work. For some people, their stories are rare and precious gems. They need to treat them as such and walk in ways that allow them to give it the honor that they believe that it has. For others, their stories are like sand, so plentiful that if I'm holding on to it, but there's 8 million more. I post a poem a week because I am constantly, as a writer, trying to write more, trying to see things differently, and that posting a poem a week is to also make sure I'm writing at least a couple. I'm writing at least 4 poems a month, or 5 poems a month, or 6 poems a month, or 7 poems a month. But that's for me. That's what I need. But nobody else can define for you what you need and how you need to be a storyteller. But you do need to be a storyteller because there is somebody out there that needs to hear your voice. How you do that is up to you. But just know that there is somebody out there.
And if we start living our life, if we start learning from nature, because the mosquito doesn't say, I don't want to suck that. I don't want to bite that person because they're going to itch. I don't want to suck their blood. Or the rose doesn't say, well, what if people don't like red? What if they can't, if they're colorblind? The trees just grow. And I think if we take lessons from nature and follow that internal guidance system, you know, being able to listen, instead of even thinking, well, I wonder if they deserve my story or not. The minute we go into that, we're disconnected from the story, really. I think it becomes that heady thing. It becomes something that we start to weigh. But if we're telling a story because that's what's showing up for us right now, and we live in a society, or we've created society where things are fast and it has to be fascinating, or you have to be blowing something up, or it's got to be, oh my God, breaking news, and a rat just broke into a house and the SWAT teams are over there. It's like, now we got to just learn to slow things down, to really slow things down and get in touch. Even what Rebecca shared earlier, because there's so many people telling their truth, their story, their principles for life. But it's important for us individually to say, what is true for me? I take all of it on board to share my story and don't share my story and share my story a certain kind of way. But what is true for me? What is true for me? And I think from that place we can move forward. And it's really about a process that I call, you know, self-excavating, where we become a spiritual archaeologist. You know, we start digging back into our own lives and researching and say, what is that? That's odd. Let's put that over here. You know, I've never seen that before. And but it's really about living life fully. But sometimes we want a fast approach to living. And how fast are you willing to tell your story and tell it so quick, so true, so authentically? I want to ask you a couple of questions before you go. I know you got to go. Oh, hey, is that a time? Okay, so I don't know if this is a current youth or somebody, or a former youth of yours, Margot, called Gia. Is sending love to you from Smile. Smile. Yep, so your people are listening. Your people are listening to your story. So real quick, I want to ask you I want to ask one question, and then if you have one of your poetry that you can share with us before you go, and I gotta bring you back. Well, maybe we'll just do a teleconference or something where you and I can just talk, because I can talk to you all day. I like to share stories. Now, I want to talk about real quick retelling stories, ancestral stories, family stories, because some of us have stories that we carry with us, stories about our family members, our grandparents, or people that we don't know, but that was told that we just want to disconnect from. We don't want to talk about it anymore because we say, well, you know, just give it, talking about it, bringing it up gives it power. How do you suggest listeners go about retelling that story to actually empower them rather than them thinking, you know, it's going to take away their power?
Right. I think it's a matter of you just have to try. Because I think what happens is in our denying of these stories, they bubble up. They spill out in weird ways. They show up when we least expect them. Like, oh, why did I just tell that random bus driver about my grandma's whatever? Like, they just come up and they happen. So I think it's a matter of creating the space in your life or in your day or in your time to explore them a little bit. Explore, and I think what we have to do is we might have to challenge ourselves to explore the joy in them, because as we said earlier, it is so easy to remember things that are painful or hard or hurtful, and not as easy to remember the joy or the goodness. So it might be a matter of saying, okay, what joyful or what learning what strength story do I need to tell and start there. And I think you'll be surprised that it'll just come. It'll yeah. flow through you.
Yes. The process of self-excavation. Become a spiritual archaeologist.
Exactly.
No point going to another country and digging up their ground. Dig up your own ground. Dig up your own consciousness. You will be blown away. Margot, before you go, can you share one of your pieces, poetry, you know, one of the things, something that you're feeling led to share with us, whatever it is. You got the stage.
I have a piece here. It's called Preoccupied. Searching, always searching, because what is at hand is never enough. What we had before, what is coming next, anything but now will be better, will be richer, will fill the empty spaces in our chests and in our lives. How wide can we grab? How far must we go to seek a remedy to the sickness of our own making? We are all ill because the poisons we are sucking down, the lies we are pouring into our own ears, the smoke-filled room we are crawling through is ablaze with our own fear. Ignorance, denial of problems festering since the last time we decided to ignore them. Hatred serves no one. Greed eats its host as it consumes more and more notions of supremacy in all its forms will only show others where we are lacking. Backing into corners we carefully constructed out of the bits of our souls we shield from the sun, fail to let thrive, hide from others, including ourselves. We are preoccupied with everything besides that which will keep us alive.
I am so grateful for who you are and how you're sharing your gift, how you're sharing yourself. I thank God for you, and I'm so grateful for our conversation today. You've definitely fed me.
Hey.
I thank you, Margot.
It's been a pleasure.
And anything else you want to share with listeners that you need them to know? Do you have a performance coming up, a book, whatever you want to share? Here's a platform to let our listeners know.
We have some giveaways. I have a book, Living, Learning, and Loving, and I'm offering them up to you to give away to 3 listeners.
Okay, great. Living, Loving, and Learning. Oh, cool. Thank you. 3 listeners. Okay, well, listeners, you got it. We're going to give that away, and number is 347-426-3346. Margot, thank you for all you do, and I look forward to continue our storytelling again on radio or on the phone or on Facebook or wherever it happens. In the ether, so be it. And thank you for supporting people to be the change they want to see.
And thank you for this space where growth can happen and where stories can be shared.
Thank you, my sister.
Bye-bye.
Life is good. It's getting better and better and better and better. That's right. I'm making up words because I can. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to address some of the things I say in the chat room, and we're going to go within. From within is where everything happens. And when you can learn to start from within, you transform your own life. And you're not even worried about what people are saying about your life, about your story, about you're not even worried about what you're thinking about your life. We'll be right back. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith from within. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And we'll give away the book to those who haven't won. We are not doing competition. Who haven't received anything from us the last 30 days? Living, Loving, and Learning, the book by Margot Dillard Bennett. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith from within. Listen to the word and be transformed. presence is all around you, is within you. And when you start from within, you will see the face of God. You will see the face of love. You will see the face of truth. Richie Byers Beckwith, From Within. Her website address is weletitbe.com. weletitbe.com. What's your story? I trust that you've been fed to retell your story. You've been fed to tell stories of your vulnerable self, of your guilty self, of your shameful self, of your painful self. Yes. But why would we focus on negativity? Well, it's all about how you focus on it if you're giving it life. Because feelings buried alive never die. Teresa has in the chat room, she said, many people are afraid to share their stories because they're afraid to feel the pain of what might come if someone judges it. Judging you, condemns you, if it holds you back. You know, and that's the thing. Here's a flip. Yeah, we can all use this. So you think about your conversation, your thought about what others can do to your story, what others do to your story. So let's use Teresa's example here. If you say many people. So actually, I'll use Teresa as an example. When you say many are afraid to share their stories. So I'll use Teresa's example since she's vocal about it. So my question to you, Teresa, is are you afraid to share your story? And, you know, when we start living our life like that, that when we start saying what people don't like to do, don't want to do, or will do, especially when it's more in a judgmental, from a more judgmental perspective and sort of a defensiveness, is to question yourself, when have you done that? When do I do that? When am I like that? Because we play the, you know, your story is your story. And the truth is, if you are, whoever you is, if you are afraid to tell your story because you think people are going to use it against you, judge you, or whatever, it's really not about the people. It's really about the stories and the conversation in your head. Because the truth is, the people that we think are going to judge us, use it against us, or criticize us, they're too busy telling their own story to themselves or telling their own lies to themselves. They're not even paying attention to your stories. Once you are free in yourself, once you are free about how you tell your story, once you are free about how you're living your life, once you are free about who and what you are, it really doesn't matter what people think or don't think about your life, your story. And that's why we hide, because we think, well, if I do this, people will do that. Well, so what? People are going to do something. I don't want people to talk about me. Guess what? People are going to talk about you. They're either going to talk about how great you are, how you inspire them, or how your life is sorry, or how they just don't want to be around you. That's just what people do. That's what we do. We just have things. We just got to talk about something. But for the most part, it is important. If you're really about healing, if you want to be the example of what people do, what brings us together, then you be the example of honoring other people's story. So when people share stories with you, when they share their story with you, you can say, wow, thank you for sharing that with me. I am honored. But here's another thing. You know, we are so perfectly designed that you can always, let me put it this way, you can always be aware or be in tune or connect with why somebody is telling you a story. Now, if you may feel they're telling you a story because they're looking for pity. And if you get in touch with that, and you might want to fall into criticizing or judging or shutting them down, or like Celeste would say, projecting your affirmation on them, as in, oh, all is well, don't worry about it, everything works together for your good, it's happening for you, not to you. You may just want to ask, you may just want to be vulnerable and say, well, I hear what you're saying and it sounds very sad, but I really want to know, what are you asking of me? Are you just sharing it with me, or you want to know what I have to say? Because what the world needs right now, all over the world, we need compassionate human beings. We need people who can be with us lovingly. Because I just read what Sinesa was telling me. She's out there, need compassionate being. He out there. We all need to create a space for compassion. We all, what we are looking for is a place where we can express our judgment, our criticism of ourselves, our guilt, our shame. And somebody that can be there to say, I hear you. Now, are you ready to tell another story? There was something, a comment by Carly about a guy who shared a story. Let me see if I can find it. Well, let me go to my, I think, Celeste shared it to me, but I was trying to see if I can get a clearer idea. Tiro said, so many people are so busy telling their stories but don't want to listen to your story. Those are the ones who suck the life out of you. Indeed! It's such, so true. There are some people who they're just busy telling you about their story and how it is for them, that they're not listening. They become a taker rather than a receiver, rather than a listener. You know? Let me see. Let me go to my email here, see if I can do that. It was almost time to release the show. Yeah, there's something about Carly said here, but I'm not quite clear the statement. But basically, somebody who told his story, I guess, a guy who told his story, and he said something. Well, there's a part of the comment I don't understand. Because maybe Celeste is telling me. Let's see. Thank you. She said, this is coming, Carly May. This is live radio, okay? So if it's messy, so be it. Life is messy sometimes. The guy was able to be healed when he looked into the areas of his life that needed healing. Okay, he was able to help his client. Okay, got it. Yes, that's true healing. Thank you, Carly. Thank you, Celeste. I try to make sense of it live on radio. I don't always have time to read it. I appreciate you. And that's the thing. You know, for real healing to happen, we've got to be the healing. We've got to be the space. We've got to be the space for the healing. That's what storytelling is about. And hopefully today's show has inspired you to be more, to look at the stories you're telling. Hopefully your story that you're telling about yourself inspires you. Maybe sometimes it's getting you in touch with your pain. Because, you know, as much as the world needs a compassionate ear, a compassionate space for the world to tell a story, also the world needs a space where we can just talk about what is not working. What is not working. Imagine what it's like when you have a shoulder to cry on. Say, I'm struggling. I don't know how to make it. I know I have the power within me, but I'm not making that connection right now. I'm feeling distracted. I'm feeling out of balance. I don't feel grounded. We're getting ready to release the show. Let's see. Yeah, I'm talking to Celestia. Yeah, I see. Celestia's letting me know that Teresa is on the line and she wanted to share with us the answer to the question. Yeah, I'm getting ready to release the show, Teresa. You know, it's a sort of rhetorical question, and I think in the chat room you said something like it's a privilege for people to share their story with you. But really, I'm just inviting the world. We, all of us that are listening now, those of you in the chat room right now, online, those of you listening to the archive, really it's for us all just to ask ourselves, when others are telling their story, are we being a place for judgment, or are we being a place for healing? And just as important, are you being a place of judgment for your own story? Are you being a place of healing for your own story? Only you know what is true. And sometimes, don't be so guarded that you're afraid of making a mistake. Or you don't, if you get into it, I don't want to be judged. I understand it. Trust me, I understand. I do a show where people come for inspiration. Sometimes I don't want to share my vulnerable self. I don't want to share my mistakes, but I understand that's my personality. That's my ego. No, no, don't do that. They're going to judge you. But I know it's so much more. It's bigger than me. I set my own self free when I tell my story. That today, I'm not really hot. Okay? I will see. As a matter of fact, speaking of telling the story, telling the truth, tomorrow's show will probably be a rerun because I am traveling and I haven't been able to figure out how to do a live show. If I can do a live show tomorrow, I'll do it. But if not, it's going to be a rerun. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. We'll play a little bit. We'll play in the background. This is more of who you are, the Agape Choir. Be love is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. Tell your own story and be loved. Listen to the show's archives. All the shows are archived. This is Agape Choir. More of who you are is a chance. Tell your story and be more of who you are. Be the healing space. Peace and blessings.
I will meet you in my heart.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.